Hello everyone and welcome to this webinar today. I'm Francis Seeley from Enfield Climate Action Forum and GlobalNet 21. And today we're going to look at education and particularly education and climate change and the big question of how teachers teach climate change, because it's just a wide area. It's a difficult thing to get your head around. And we've got Melanie Harwood today who's created a very impressive project called Educate Global, which actually addresses that problem. So, well, Melanie, welcome to the webinar today. It's great to have you here. Can I first begin by asking you very, very briefly to tell us something about your background?
Thank you very much for having me, everybody. Lovely to meet you all. So let's dive straight in. I am not a teacher. I am what I would call a serial creative entrepreneur, social entrepreneur. A few years ago, when my little girl was struggling with handwriting, I created a method to teach my daughter how to write by hand. And this very quickly became a method for handwriting, which was used in schools. And I realized that we needed an assessment toolkit, which I developed and assessed thousands of children around the UK. And then I had that light bulb moment where I thought, aha, we need to teach teachers how to be handwriting specialist teachers.
Is that what led you to develop Educate Global?
Yes, it was a very interesting experience. I Start B as an entrepreneurship was a social entrepreneurship was doing very, very well. I handed over to Yorkshire Purchase Organization, and one evening I met the director of Planet from the UN at a dinner, as one does in London. And we got chatting, and he told me about how they were getting children in Switzerland to have Skypes with children in developing countries. So, for example, Ivory Coast. But the children in Switzerland were saying to the children in Ivory Coast, oh, this climate change is a bit of a bummer because we can't ski. And the kids in Ivory Coast were saying, we've got electricity blackouts. There's no fish. We have to go and collect firewood. We're, you know, not good. And I looked at the program. I went back and I looked at the program and I thought, wow, we've got to create something where we have teachers upskilled to be specialist climate change teachers. I messaged him at 3 a.m. in the morning and he came straight back and he said, what do you think you're going to do? And I said, well, I've got this idea. And he said, well, can you come over to Geneva? And it started there. I pitched my idea to, goodness, just over 30 agencies in 4 days. I went with my then creative partner, Denise Meisner. We went up and I said to her, do you think they're going to let us go? And it was just this idea to create. Then the idea was, let's create the climate change teacher course. And we were just going to pilot it in 80 schools. We launched it at Katowice COP24 in Poland in 2018. Officially went live on the 22nd of April 2019. And it was a slow burn for the first couple of weeks, and then it just went viral.
So I mean that's the background about how you started, which is really, really quite exciting and quite an adventure for you. And clearly you realize that in the education system there was a big gap in teaching climate change. I mean, why do you think that schools aren't probably addressing climate change in the curriculum as well as they could?
Well, Francis, and everybody watching this, it's a very interesting question. Don't forget that these fossil fuel companies have known that we have an issue for more than 30 years. I'd say 50 years, really, they started understanding there was an issue with climate change and global heating. We have focused in education on the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I call it the regurgitate method. And they are important, but we haven't addressed this existential threat. So the time for teaching mitigation and adaptation, I feel personally, is over. It's gone. We have to now go full steam ahead. We can't address why it hasn't been done globally. Systems in governments work very slowly. Bureaucracy and red tape and funding and how you're going to get everybody on board. That's we can't sort of go. That's another webinar in itself. I think that schools are now realizing, head teachers and leaders of education and teachers are realizing that there's definitely an importance of climate education. And I think that the climate change teacher course was that turning point. I'm very proud to say that once it went out there, it spread. And then teachers in Italy, 3,700 teachers in Italy did the climate change teacher course. And then soon after that, they pressured the Minister of Education in Italy to put climate education onto their curriculum in Italy. So it had this effect of galvanizing everybody. Francis, when I started in 2018, I'm going to tell all of your viewers, I went to a production company in London and they said, you cannot call this climate change education. They said, that is the elephant in the room. You cannot use the words climate change. And look at what we've achieved in such a short period of time, 4 years.
And so, I was going to say that's strange in a way, because you say, you know, lots of teachers were interested, but the most enthusiastic people about learning about climate change have been the pupils themselves. I've seen that young people want to learn and they don't have it in their curriculum. And that's what worries them.
It's not, it's the young people, the I'd say the age group from 3 to 19, these are very switched on individuals. These kids have grown up with that computer in their pocket, okay? So they are getting all of that information online on social media. They know a lot about it, but what they want, what they need are confident climate allies. So it's about upskilling teachers with the foundational skills so that they are confident in answering and building this into the curriculum. It's, you're not changing the curriculum. You're not adding anything extra to it. You are taking existing lessons and you are integrating climate literacy into your lesson. So I'll give you an example, just a maths lesson. We talk about percentages and ratios in maths. And say we add in that lesson all about diminishing landmass in Bangladesh. Still percentages and ratios, but you start thinking, why have we got this diminishing landmass? And if you've got this throughout your curriculum and your students are asking you questions and as positive climate allies, your teachers are adept and confident at answering your questions, that's where you get that powerful learning and that outreach. It doesn't just stay in the school, it spreads outwards to your communities.
Well, let's talk about that a bit more. But one of the things you said quite interests me, and in a way, I think you partly answered it, and that is, you know, we've gone beyond talking about adaptation and mitigation. So where do we go? I mean, what is beyond that?
Okay, so what I found in the last four and a half years now of working in this space is that we learn from our mistakes. So my biggest mistake was thinking that we only needed one climate change teacher in every school. And then my second realization was that we needed to learn in this process. I call it the MAT process, mitigation, adaptation. Those two are your entry point, foundation points. Then you shift up gears to transition, and then you move through to transformative leadership. So it's mitigation, adaptation, transition, transformation.
Explain those last two, because the other two we know about, the last two are the new ones.
Okay, so the transition is how are we going to shift away from our fossil fuel. We're addicted to fossil fuels. Everything around us is made with fossil fuels. Everything in our lives. Everything we do, everything we use, everywhere we go. So how are we going to put ourselves into a mindset of shifting away and innovating away from our use so that we can diminish that loss that's going to happen when it does? It's going to happen. So transition, how I discovered transition was purely by chance. I was introduced on LinkedIn to a professor, Susan Crumdike, and I'm very lucky to be working with her. She wrote a book called Transition Engineering. And to me, that is now a textbook. And I'm working with Susan on the creation of a new GCSE called Net Zero Transitioneering. And she teaches us how to focus on something called EROI, which is energy return on investment. And she teaches transition engineering, but we call it net zero transitioneering. So that you have to get your head around how you're going to transition. Transformative leadership. How do we go away from, we know that we're always thinking of GDP and our capitalist mindset. We've growth at all. We've got to just keep growing, okay? How do we keep earning and yet not growing? Going back casting. And that is where the transformative leadership comes in. And I'm working with Professor Henry Mintzberg and Professor Jonathan Gosling and Phil Lanier of the of an amazing team over in Canada and the UK on how we're going to prepare school leaders and management so that they can oversee this holistic delivery of mitigation, adaptation, transition, net zero transitioneering, and transformative leadership. When you have that, you can achieve anything. You can prepare your communities.
That sort of interests me because I'm from a generation that was brought up on books like Paul Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And he talks about action and reflective practice and action, the combination of the two. He doesn't believe in what you call regurgitation, a bank of knowledge. And it seems to me you're in that tradition. You're saying education is not just about reflection, it's about action as well.
It's all about action, Francis, and everybody watching. It's action. It's how that we start. It's a mindset. So we get ourselves, it's quite shocking, I must admit. When I first entered into this realm, I learned so much building the climate change teacher course that I was a basket case for a couple of days. I thought, but I looked at the way that it was presented and I thought we've got some fantastic case studies, but action. And I looked at the SDGs and I was incredibly lucky. Last year, I've got to name her, a lady called Deborah Hinton, a consultant from Canada. She volunteered with Educate Global for just over a year and she changed everything. And she said, if we look at the SDGs, what is the most important item in that chart of 17 items? She said, it's climate action. Because without climate action, we won't have healthy seas and life in water and life on land. And everything else then follows behind it. And I thought, wow. And then somebody else said to me, but it's peace and justice. And I thought, but they do, they all fit together. Action, peace and justice, life on land, life in water. And then everything else. Because if we don't have that life on land and life on water, there aren't any SDGs to fulfill.
Okay, I mean, just before we go on, for those people who don't know what SDGs are, they're Sustainable Development Goals, which were created through the United Nations, and they've been a big element in nation states' attitude towards development. Okay, so you do this, you believe that you should combine action with thinking about it. And you do it, am I right in saying, not by having one teacher, but by having a cross-curriculum development. Yes. Everyone, I mean, climate change permeates, in other words, the whole of the teaching practice in any school.
Yes, it does. We had a very interesting head teacher in 2019, in the summer of 2019, when I started with the climate change teacher course, I had a message from a head teacher in Dubai, Asha Alexander. And she said, would it be possible for all of my teachers in my school to do the climate change teacher course? And I said, never been done. Go for it. You're the first. Well, she had 373 teachers. But what happened was, I thought something very interesting is going on here. I was called to a meeting with the leader of Hammersmith and Fulham Council. And we all sat around, Stephen Cannon and the director of education and children. And they said, so how's this going to work? How are we going to get this into our schools in Hammersmith and Fulham? And I said to the deputy councillor, Larry Culhane, I think we need to go to Dubai to go and see what's going on there. And they said, okay. And I couldn't believe it. They said, yeah, let's go. And the Guardian visual feature team went with us. It was an eye opener. And when you have every teacher that has that foundation, wow, we had parents in the PTA, the Parents Teachers Association, they were doing the training. We had management in the it was an independent school group, they were doing the training, and something magical happened in that school, and we came back and we said, we need to change what we're doing. And then we went to COP25 and we said, we're going to create an holistic delivery. And that's how we came up with these awards, where we have the head teacher nominates a sustainability and climate literacy lead, and then they nominate five support team members. That's your entry point, that's your bronze award, so that you start your process holistically, and then they become the trainers, they become the, what we call them, the fishers of their crew. They then outreach, they teach that school, all of the staff, all the teachers, all the staff, and then they shift up to the next level. They always came back and said, what's next? What's next? What's next? So we're constantly being pushed as to what's next, going up in those levels.
I actually saw the video you did in Dubai of that young girl standing in front of a camera with a microphone saying, I want to learn. She was talking about climate change. And it was really quite, compelling watching that. So tell me, your first step, I mean, you haven't explained yet, you have bronze, silver and gold. Maybe you could tell us about that. But what I found interesting there is that the bronze is finding a handful of teachers, and I'm not sure how you find them, and maybe you can explain that, who will know and learn and experience cross-curriculum development, and then they become the catalysts for developing it elsewhere. So it's a bottom-up approach within the school. It's not you going in all the time, it's you helping the school to teach itself.
Yes. So we took the climate change teacher course, and the teachers were asking us, they said, how do we teach climate change? So you've given us the foundational knowledge, but how do we teach it? So I worked with a head teacher in Derbyshire, Fiona Cowan, and we developed what we called how to teach climate change inset training. And we delivered that to a cluster of schools in Derbyshire, and it worked a treat. And we incorporated that into our sustainability and climate literacy leadership training. So the head teacher of the school is the key to the kingdom. The head teacher of every school, that is your entry point. If your head teacher does not support this team, it's not going to work. Move on. So your head teacher nominates that sustainability and climate literacy lead. And that sustainability and climate literacy lead does five UNITAR adapted teacher training courses. It's about 15 hours. And then they do the how to teach climate change inset training. And they nominate five teachers or staff members to be their support team members. And those teachers do two of those UNITAR adapted teacher trainings. It's about 4 hours. And they also work through the how to teach climate change inset training. And as a team together, they then have a scheme of work called the Carbon Footprint Buster Challenge, or one of the others that we've created. And they deliver their very own inset training to all staff in the school on how to teach climate change. And that is where you have this kickstart for the entire school. Recently, we've been working with a company called Kite, and we've been developing a baseline assessment, an all staff baseline assessment. And we start so that we can measure our attainment. We're measuring what our start point is, what their knowledge is at the start, and then when they get to the silver award in a year's time, we measure that next step, and it is fascinating. So you are building that team, and they then, your five members spread out, and they become the sustainability and climate literacy leads in the silver award with their own five members underneath, and that way you have at least 19 of these skilled, confident climate allies. So they then deliver the training. Those trainers become the trainers, which is just
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether you sort of built in an evaluation process into what you do, because that's fairly critical. And you, I mean, did that come by accident or did that come by design?
That was most certainly something that was so necessary. I knew from my previous life as a handwriting specialist that assessment toolkit is how you, now back then, I assessed the children's handwriting so that you could see what the barriers to learning to write were. So we were assessing children. But with this time, I said to Deborah Hinton, we have got to have a baseline assessment of our teachers. When they start, we need to see what their entry point is so that we can develop further training to assist them and raise them up and ensure that they are going to be super confident in what they're doing. And it was Deb, we were very lucky. Last summer, something happened during the pandemic. We had these teenagers, these twin girls, Sarnia and Shayna Anand from New York, offered to volunteer for me for Educate Global in the summer holidays, and they developed the assessment. And then Deb took it and we tweaked it. And she said, we have a baseline assessment. And I said, okay, well, that's great. We've got an entry point. And then by pure chance, one of the other professors we worked with, Professor Moultan Hill from Nottingham Trent Uni, she introduced us to Kite. And she said, you've got to get together with them. They've got this assessment for corporates, for businesses. And this is where this relationship developed. And we said, we've looked at our assessment. It's a very basic baseline assessment. And yours is just mega. But how are we going to crunch these numbers? We just don't have the capacity. And this is where they've now come in and said, we're launching a charity called the Climate School Foundation. And we would like for all of your teachers to do our CARA, a school CARA assessment, you know, as we go forward. So the assessment is crucial, Francis. Without the assessment, you don't know if you're getting it right or wrong, because you can just spew whatever you have. This is not a tick box or a certification exercise. This is making sure that you are getting it right, so that you can see those little points when you have the red flags coming up. If you have the same answer coming up again and again, then you know we need to do something about that there.
The assessment is crucial, yeah. But yes. The other thing you said that's crucial is the role of the headmaster, because lots of teachers will say when they look at your system, gosh, we've got enough work, we've got enough strain. You're asking us to work in teams. You're asking us to do a lot more. So unless the headmaster creates space for them to do that, you'll have a problem, won't you?
Yes. So what happened, I've got two examples that are really intriguing. Hammersmith and Fulham Council, after that trip to Dubai, the Director of Education and Children, Jan Parnell, came back, and she and Larry, who's the deputy lead of the council, and Stephen Cowan, leader of the council, they said, how are we going to integrate this in all 49 of the schools in our borough? And what they did was they raised some funding, which covered the cost of all the schools to do the bronze and the silver award. But they put forward a chap called Keith Fernandez, and he was the project manager. So that all of those head teachers had an entry point, and he introduced the head teachers to the initiative and said, I am your support point and I'm going to oversee this. And that has been a game changer. And then what we've had is the Girls Day School Trust. They started last year, 25 schools, a multi-academy trust. And they put forward their manager of CPD, Amy Bailey, their facilities and estates manager, Sarah Padali, and an assistant. And the three of them are project managing all of the schools. And what happened there was the CEO of the trust emailed all of the head teachers and said that I would love for you all to be involved in this project. It was a wonderful, wonderful email. It was mind-blowing when I saw it. And it was so inclusive. And he brought them all in, and then nobody was under any pressure. And what's happened there, Francis, is the way that we've project managed it is that the head teachers have a monthly Zoom on their team's progress. The sustainability leads, they have a monthly Zoom team meeting. And those five support team members for each team, they have a monthly Zoom. And boy, oh boy, the learning and the sharing of best practice and the excitement, it's fantastic. So it's about working in teams. I think it's the team effort.
Well, it's a team effort, but it's project management as well, isn't it? Because, you know, you can say to teachers, teach climate change. They're very keen to do it. But unless you have a systematic approach, which you just described, then people are going to get demotivated. They're not going to know where to go. So that is vital as well, isn't it?
Yes. There are quite a few ingredients in this mix. One of the main ingredients we found in the first lockdown, I found that I was able to take my pedal off the metal because I was being bombarded by teachers around the world. And I was trying to figure out how to get this award system working properly. And what I did was I sponsored 2,000 schools and 1,000 Global North schools in the UK and 1,000 Global South schools in the LEDC countries, Uganda, Zimbabwe, India. And we partnered a UK school with one of those LEDC schools. And that was very interesting how they work together as a team. They're six members here and they're six members there. And they had WhatsApp groups for themselves, for each school. That was an interesting concept. But the big thing that came in was how to have the content, the learning materials, on a phone. So making sure that it was on a laptop and a phone and it was interactive. So what I've done in the last year is I've moved all of the content, all the learning onto a super interactive online learning system so that we can gather data. We can instantly see which school is struggling, which teacher has not achieved enough courses in the 6 months. How do we support that teacher? So we can get in touch with them and say, do you need a little bit of extra time? Or we can get in touch with the head teacher and say, would it be possible to arrange a supply or some extra CPD time for that teacher? And this is how it works. So it's support, 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 but having the best tools to enable those teachers through the process. Because it's like you say, they are bombarded. They are all worrying about their Ofsted inspections, delivering, getting these kids through the results of the pandemic, so much. And now we're saying, oh, here we go. You need to start teaching about climate change. We have to be very, very cautious and confident in the way that we support the schools through the process.
Okay, well, we're getting very close to the end now. Well, we are practically at the end. So two questions. One, I know you want to inspire and equip teachers across the world to be able to teach climate change. How many schools have you got involved in what you're doing, and particularly in the UK?
Wow. So when we did the climate change teacher course, that was 329,000 schools in 43 countries. 9 months. It took 9 months. The growth was just exponential. So we realized this is what's out there. Then when we did the sponsorship, what we called the that 2020-21, that was 2,000 schools. So 1,000 in the UK, 1,000 in the Global South. And we've been doing, councils have been approaching us. So Hammersmith and Fulham Council, multi-academy trusts, lots of schools all over the country, schools in Scotland, schools all over the world. The one thing that bothers me, which I shouldn't say, is that a lot of them are predominantly private schools. And I'm worried that we're going to have an apartheid here. We're going to have a climate education apartheid, but that's for another meeting. Because the private schools are really pushing to get their kids green skills certified and green skills prepared for the workplace. And I don't want our state educated kids to miss out. I'd say we've got just over 300 and about 49,000 schools that we've been delivering to in the last 4 years now.
And in the UK?
Gosh, wow, in the UK, we've got a few thousand. I can't off the top of my head count how many, a few thousand. I need to look at our map. We used to have a map, an interactive map.
Okay, well, it's a huge amount, which is incredibly impressive. Anyhow, we've sort of come to the end. I mean, if anybody wanted to find out more about what you do, if they wanted to be involved, if the school wanted to contact you, how would they get in contact?
We've got a website, which is www.educateglobal. Remember, two C's in Educate Global. So you can see it on my name down there on the left-hand side. Get in touch with us, support@educateglobal.org. And I think look at it as bringing on a group. We are changing. There are two schools of thought here, Francis. Some head teachers prefer this holistic delivery. And then some teachers are approaching us and saying, our head teacher is not going to support us. We want to do this ourselves anyway. So we're now looking at delivering certifications one-to-one and those awards in schools with those holistic deliveries with the head teacher supporting. So please get in touch with us and we will look at which is the best way for you. If you are a multi-academy trust, then we would introduce you to, for example, the Girls Day School Trust team and the Hammersmith and Fulham team and the other counties that have been in touch with us. And let's work that way where you onboard all of your schools and it's a trust-wide or a council-wide project. The one thing I need to point out though, Francis, funding. There's not much funding for this from the government. So a lot of these schools are reaching out to local corporate sponsors. Local businesses are sponsoring these schools. The bronze award is £500 for a school and the silver award is £800. That's £500, that's over a 6 month period and then 6 months to really embed the scheme of work. Silver award is 6 months and then a further 6 months to embed the scheme of work. Funding is always a big problem, but where there's a will, there's a way, and that's what's happening. These schools, these councils are figuring out a way to fund it.
Okay. I mean, actually, that sounds like another webinar, and that would be great to do because I think it would help schools a lot. How do you fund this? How do you work with corporates?
Oh, yes.
How do you find businesses and enterprises in your local area? Because remember you saying to me once, you'd be surprised how much they do want to help, and that will be really good. But anyhow, look, we come to the end of this, and I think that's really interesting because I think it will give a lot of inspiration and a lot of ideas to teachers and to head teachers as well. And I hope we can disseminate this as widely as possible so people can look at it. And, you know, I hope we can get local authorities involved and state schools involved. So there isn't the apartheid you talk about. That is absolutely vital. And it's clear that you're working on that. And that's great. Anyhow, I mean, this has been a really interesting, informative and inspiring webinar. So, you know, Melanie, thank you for doing it with us. And we'll end this webinar now.